You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with National Party MP James Meagher.
Welcome back to The Wire. This Sunday marked International Transgender Day of Visibility, a day meant to highlight the achievements of transgender individuals and communities around the world and highlight the many legal struggles still affecting them. I talked to James about what the government has to offer our transgender rangatahi, especially given policies promoted by New Zealand First Leader and Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters before the election. We also speak about the Fast Track Approvals Bill and the possible environmental consequences of this bill. To start us off, what is the National Party offering for our trans communities, or more broadly, Aotearoa's queer population?
Well, I think in general, we offer the same policies that we offer every individual in every community, and that is to support more jobs, stronger economic growth, more opportunities for everyone to participate in the workforce, higher incomes, safer communities, all those kind of things. Specifically around the transgender community and the LGBTQI+ community, we of course are a party that's in favour of individual freedom, choice and responsibility, and we support protecting civil rights. And all of that will be balanced against all the other competing civil rights. So off the top of my head, there are no specific policies that I can point to, but that comes as us being a party where we try to target our policies across the board for everyone.
Last year in August, Deputy Prime Minister, or now Deputy Prime Minister and New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters promoted a couple of anti-trans policies, which at the time current Prime Minister Christopher Luxon indicated would not be high on his personal list of priorities. Should we expect those policies to come up in the future, maybe later in this government's term?
Well, if they, I don't know what the policies are, but if they didn't make them into the coalition agreement, then they're policies that New Zealand First would have to bring to the government and take to cabinet on their own and seek support from governing parties. But if they weren't in the coalition agreement, then they aren't part of the government's agenda at the moment. But I'm not sure which ones they are, sorry.
That was referring to the policy about segregated bathrooms and the policy on funding for sports bodies.
So given they didn't make it into the agreement, then they're not part of the government's plan. And so if New Zealand First want to promote those policies, they would have to do it either through members' bills processes or take it to the governing parties and get consensus on that. And as the Prime Minister indicated before the election, if there's not support for that within National, then it may not go very far. But we'll have to wait and see what they bring forward.
While those policies weren't in the coalition agreement, there were included in the coalition agreement changes proposed to the relationships and sexuality education curriculum, particularly New Zealand's first policy proposing the removal and replacement of the gender, sexuality and relationship-based education guidelines. While this policy isn't explicitly anti-trans, similarities can be drawn to policies in the United States using similar rhetoric, removing any mention of gender or sexuality from the school curriculum. Is this really the sort of policy we want to be pushing in Aotearoa?
Well, I think Nicola Willis spoke about this before the election and maybe just after it as well. Our policy is to review what is contained within that curriculum, and there were some concerns from parents around the age that some of the concepts were being taught to some of our younger students in sort of primary school age. So what the government said is that they will go and look at what's actually in that specific curriculum and see whether it's appropriate for the age of the children being taught. But I mean, I can remember going through school, going through Life Education Trust, and it being a pretty good place to get some education around some parts of life where things can be a bit confusing growing up, and teaching concepts of respect and boundaries and consent and all those kinds of things. So we support schools being a place to learn and to educate children on those kinds of issues. We also support the rights of families to opt out if they don't think it's appropriate for their children. And I'd be loath to start bringing in comparisons to the US. The US is a very unique country at the moment, and I know people want to try to import all sorts of culture war topics from the US, but I'm not one that wants to do that. I want to look at what we're doing here in New Zealand and our policies and judge them on that.
Right, so just to confirm, the government is not quite set on any changes at the moment, just going for a broader look into how the curriculum is doing.
Yeah, I think that's what the coalition agreement says. Again, I don't have it in front of me, but my understanding is it's a review of what's actually being taught at the various ages.
Moving on to the government's somewhat controversial Fast Track Approvals Bill, Could you please briefly go over what this bill aims to do and why it's being implemented?
Yeah, so I don't think it's somewhat controversial. I think some people don't like the idea that the government's actually going to deliver on its promises pre-election, but we'll put that aside. Essentially, the bill provides a one-stop shop for approving projects of regional or national significance. So in the past, large projects like that would have gone through multiple legislative provisions, the RMA, Conservation Act, Heritage Act, etc., whereas now there are going to be a list of projects that will go through to expert panels, and expert panels will provide recommendations to ministers as to whether or not to grant or decline the approvals. It's essentially just to say we have been elected on a mandate to deliver some very significant and large infrastructure, and we were going to use similar processes that were used during COVID to fast-track them through the consenting process. So there'll still be the balance in hand about development being traded off with making sure we've got good environmental protections, but we've just taken the view that we need to start getting things actually built in this country.
You mentioned that there's been some critiques of the bill involving environmental protection. Several critiques, including worries that it could be used to circumvent those protections aimed at conservation, limiting emissions and reducing pollution. Should we really be, I guess, you mentioned that there's the expert panel, obviously, but should we be going around these protections which were put in place clearly for a good reason?
Well, all those protections are put in place with the balance of economic development and the ability for landowners to do what they need to do on their land to, you know, build houses or to put storage water ponds in the corner of a paddock so that they can ensure that they've got water on hand for stock or for irrigating. So there are all these trade-offs and balances. It's not designed to be a funnel or a bypass through those protections because the expert panels will still consider all of the relevant factors. It's just a fast track to decide how quickly we can get these projects built. And bear in mind, these are projects that have significant regional or national benefits. They're not your sort of small 10, 20, 30 house developments. They are large, significant projects like the roads of national significance or significant water storage infrastructure projects. So I think you can have confidence in the government will bear in mind all those trade-offs to make sure that we still have environmental protections in place. And the emissions one's an interesting one because, of course, all emissions in New Zealand are covered under the ETS. So whether or not you've got protections in place to reduce emissions or not, every single emission in the country, apart from agricultural ones, of course, is covered under the ETS. And so where they're reduced in one area, they're increased in the other to the cap. So I just want to put that on there as well.
All right, you mentioned that it's larger projects that are being covered by this fast track approvals bill. Does the fact that it's larger projects that are getting through also mean the possibility for, I guess, poor consequences for the environment is also larger, like the risk perhaps is higher than with smaller projects?
Well, you'd need to look at everything on a case-by-case basis. So, for instance, if one of the projects that hopefully will go through might be the Ashburton Bridge. So the Ashburton Bridge is already designated and we just need consenting for the works in the actual river. Now, the environmental impact of that will be fairly minimal. There's already one bridge going across the Ashburton River, the proposed site, what is about, you know, half a kilometre downstream from that. And the impact on the environment would be fairly minimal compared to what the trade-off or the benefit would be of having that second bridge in place. So you're going to have to look at all the projects on a case-by-case basis, and that's what that expert panel will do. And I think it'd be a bit premature to get ahead of ourselves when we don't actually have a list of the projects as well. So we'll just have to wait and see.
That was the National Party's James Meagher speaking to me about transgender issues and the Fast Track Approvals Bill.
That was our catch-up with National Party MP James Meagher.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.